Yeah, this evening I'll be talking from Judges 9. If you'd like to turn that to there with me, please. And whilst you're turning there, I wonder if you want to think back to when, last summer, when Labour got into power. Now, they came into power with the song playing in the background, "Things Can Only Get Better." And I'll make no judgment as to you think whether or not they have or not, but just sort of a question of, I wonder how often we think that when there's a change in sort of a leadership or a new thing to come, maybe there's a new head teacher at school, there's a new football manager, there's a new pastor at a church. How often do we think to ourselves, things can only get better? And I think there's some real danger in a comment like that, because it's implying firstly that we're the ones that make things get better. And there's a danger in, we're already at the bottom now, and things can not get worse. But in the passage today, which we're looking at, it's about Abimelech, a man who gets appointed as king. And I wondered to what extent the people, when they appointed him, thought things can get better. In Judges, we see time and time again a refrain of, and there was no king in the land of Israel. And when they get the king, things can only get better. Sadly for them, as a little spoiler, it doesn't. But let's look into the passage now. So in Judges, there's a cycle that goes on, sort of repeats. The first thing is the people say no to God. The second thing is then God hands them over to their enemies. After being handed over to their enemies, the people of Israel then cry out for help, at which point God raises a deliverer who then frees them from their oppression, returns them to a time of peace and prosperity, ready for the cycle to continue again. Now, I contest that it's less of a cycle and more a downward spiral. So we start here and we're just getting worse and worse and worse. The period of oppression increases each time, and the period of peace is decreasing each time. And in this this part of the Judges, we have a horrible break from the cycle itself. We have what I'd like to think of as almost an anti-judge, who's not even appointed by God, coming in and not making things better at all. So I'll start reading at verse 1. "So now Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal, went to Shechem to his mother's relatives and said to them and to the whole clan of his mother's family, 'Say in the ears of all the leaders of Shechem, which is better for you, that all 70 of the sons of Jerubbaal rule over you, or that one rule over you? Remember also, I am your bone and your flesh.'" So you have Abimelech. The name Abimelech means "my father is king." And he's the son of Jerubbaal. And if anyone sort of looked at Judges 6-8, that Jerubbaal, we find out, is Gideon. And he's the man who was raised up by God to free the people of Israel from the Midianite oppression. But he's referred to as Jerubbaal here, which is his pagan name, which is obviously a little bit concerning. And it's also concerning that Abimelech's name, "my father is king," because Gideon explicitly earlier on said that he wasn't going to rule over the people and only God ruled over the people. But then he went to act in a way that he did rule over the people, such an extent that Abimelech, the son of his concubine, has the name "my father is king." He then goes to manipulate and talk to the people in Shechem to tell them, "I'm your flesh and blood. Make me king." So what happens when those words are spoken? Let's return in at verse 3. "And his mother's relatives spoke all these words on his behalf in the ears of all the leaders of Shechem, and their hearts inclined to follow Abimelech, for they said, 'He is our brother.' And they gave him 70 pieces of silver out of the house of Baal-berith, with which Abimelech hired worthless and reckless fellows who followed him." These worthless and reckless fellows are violent men who are violent for the sake of being violent. And we find out later that they're not just the worthless and reckless men, but they're murderers too. And the money that pays for these people that Abimelech uses is out of the house of Baal-berith, the pagan god that the Israelites in that area are worshipping at the time. So then verse 5, "And he went to his father's house at Ophrah, and killed his brothers, the sons of Jerubbaal, 70 men on one stone. It's a mass execution. On one stone, killed all his brothers. Horrible stuff. But Jotham, the youngest son of Jerubbaal, was left, for he hid himself. And all the leaders of Shechem came together, and El Beth Milo, and they went and made Abimelech king by the oak of the pillar of Shechem. And that's a very sad thing, because at that same oak, we read in Joshua, is where Joshua placed the law when the Israelites entered the land of Canaan. And just sort of how far they've come, that now they're appointing their own king on this very same place. And when it was told to Jotham, he went and stood on top of Mount Gerizim and cried aloud and said to them, "Listen to me, you leaders of Shechem, that God may listen to you." And what follows is the first parable that we get in Scripture. The trees once went out to anoint a king over them, and they said to the olive trees, "Reign over us." But the olive trees said to them, "Shall I leave my abundance by which gods and men are honoured, and go hold sway over the trees?" And the trees said to the fig tree, "You come and reign over us." But the fig tree said to them, "Shall I leave my sweetness and my good fruit, and go hold sway over the trees?" And the trees said to the vine, "You come and reign over us." But the vine said to them, "Shall I leave my wine that cheers God and men, and go hold sway over the trees?" Then all the trees said to the bramble, "You come and reign over us." And the bramble said to the trees, "If it is in good faith that you anoint me as king over you, then come and take refuge in my shade. But if not, let fire come out from the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon." It is those that are not worthy who are quick to take leadership, who are quick to want to be king. I note here that the bramble is a bush that appears as a product of the fall. And it's a joke, really. I don't know if anybody here has ever tried to take shade under a bramble bush. But it's something that I've read. I've never tried myself. It isn't very possible. But we do know that brambles are very good at lighting fires. And we'll find out a little bit about that later. But the brambles, what they're essentially saying themselves is that, "Are you in truth asking me to be king?" In a sense of sort of a feigned surprise. "Well, you are welcome to my shade, but you'll have to grovel to get under it. And if things go wrong, don't forget that the one thing I'm good at doing is catching fire. And even the loftiest of you should be aware of that." Jotham here is just highlighting how foolish their choice is. Who would want a bramble to rule over them? And then he presents, in a sense, because Mount Gerizim is a mount of blessings, he is, in a sense, ironically presents a blessing to them, but then challenges them afterwards. And this is what happens in verse 16. "Now therefore, if you acted in good faith and integrity when you made Abimelech king, and if you have dealt with Jerubbaal and his house and have done to him as his deeds deserved, for my father fought for you and risked his life and delivered you from the hand of Midian, and you have risen up against my father's house this day and have killed his sons, 70 men on one stone, and have made Abimelech, the son of his female servant, king over the leaders of Shechem, because he is your relative. If you then have acted in good faith and integrity with Jerubbaal and with his house this day, then rejoice in Abimelech, and let him also rejoice in you. But if not, let fire come out from Abimelech and devour the leaders of Shechem and Beth Milo. And let fire come out from the leaders of Shechem and from Beth Milo and devour Abimelech." And Jotham ran away and fled and went to Beer and lived there because of Abimelech, his brother. So I have sort of three quick questions and thoughts for us in response to that passage. So the first one is, are you Abimelech? Now, so Abimelech, he's a self-crowned king. And he's not called by God, but instead grabs power through manipulation and violence. He eliminates others to gain control. He eliminated his 70 brothers. And his kingship is not built on godliness or service, but instead it's built on ambition and self-interest. Now, I'd be very surprised if anyone in this room was king. I'd be very surprised as well if anyone was capable of committing murder. And if anyone was desperate to manipulate their relatives and their siblings to gain some sort of position of power or authority over them. But I do wonder how far we let our ambitions and desires take us. I wonder how far we let them drive the decisions that we make so that we're in charge of our lives and maybe the lives of other people instead of accepting and submitting to the Lordship of Christ, the perfect King of Kings, our perfect King of Kings. But having said that, I don't think many of us here today are really like Abimelech. I don't think that we do put ourselves first very often. I think we are generally very good at putting God first. But before we get into anything else, I do wonder, let's have a look at what happened to Abimelech. And that comes in verses 53 and 54. And I'll read that very quickly. So this is after a skirmish. I've sort of skipped some of the details out, but there's, Abimelech has sort of travelled to a tower to where the people, after God placed an evil spirit between the people of Shechem and Abimelech. And what we find out is, and a certain woman threw an upper millstone on Abimelech's head and crushed his skull. Then he called quickly to the young man, his armour bearer, and said to him, "Draw your sword and kill me, lest they say of me, 'A woman killed him.'" And his young man thrust him through, and he died. Abimelech used his mother to kill his brothers upon a stone, until one day he was killed by a mother using a stone. The justice of God prevailed. As it has done time and time again in the Bible and time again as we see in our lives. And we can rest assured because we know that God's justice will prevail in the end. But we must also be fearful too, because we know our sins one day will find us out unless we are covered by the blood of Christ. So the next question for us is, are we like the people of Shechem? The crowd that crowned a thorn bush. So the people of Shechem, they willingly chose Abimelech to be their king, not because he is good, but because he is convenient. They ignored his character and crown him because of a shared background. He is our relative. But later the king they chose turns on them. The bramble devours the tree. So we may not be kings ourselves in our lives, but we certainly have influence over the people and the things that we choose to be kings in our lives. Success, security, popularity or comfort. We can strive to have those as kings instead of Christ. We must be so careful of who and what we give authority to in our lives, save to be consumed in their fire. It too is a reason why we should be careful never to place any leader on a pedestal, because if they fall down, you'll come down with them. And let's find out what happened to the people of Shechem, the crowd that crowned a thorn bush. That's in verses 46 to 49. When all the leaders of the tower of Shechem heard of it, they entered the stronghold of the house of Elberith. Abimelech was told that all the leaders of the tower of Shechem were gathered together, and Abimelech went up Mount Zalmon, he and all the people who were with him. And Abimelech took an axe in his hand and cut down a bundle of brushwood and took it up and laid it on his shoulder. And he said to the men who were with him, "What you have seen me do, hurry and do as I have done." So every one of the people cut down his bundle and following Abimelech, put it against the stronghold. And they set the stronghold on fire over them, so that all the people of the Tower of Shechem also died, about 1,000 men and women. Jotham's parable, as he said, came true. The people died in the fires of the thorn bush, the fire from Abimelech. And that too will happen to us if we put anything in our lives, appoint anything in our lives ahead of Christ. And then the last person in the story that I wanted to ask us if we are, is we Jotham? So Jotham here, he's the voice of truth and courage. He's the only surviving son of Gideon. And he stands up and speaks boldly with his parable. His message is very clear. You've chosen badly and you will reap the consequences. He speaks truth even though it is very clearly unpopular. Are we people who are prepared to speak the truth when others won't? Will we challenge the injustice in the world? But we can go one better than Jotham, because Jotham ran away. Jotham was still scared. He was still scared of his brother. But we can stand firm that knowing that we have a God in heaven who loves us and protects us, who stands by us. We can step out with confidence and with joy to profess Jesus to the world. And yes, we must speak of his judgment, but what a joy it is to also speak of his deliverance. Where Abimelech shed others' blood to rule, Jesus shed his own blood to serve. Where Shechem chose a destroyer, we're invited to choose a saviour king and to profess that saviour king to the world. And where Jotham cried out for justice, Jesus is the answer to that cry. He is both just and justifier. So we need to be careful to not be like Abimelech, to not be like the people of Shechem. Let us be the Jothams in this world. Let us stand on the mountains and call out the parables of Jesus. Let us teach people what Jesus taught us. And let's point to the true king that we have in our lives and we want others to have in their lives too. And Jeremiah 29:13 tells us that those who truly seek God will find him. And if in our hearts we can truly say that we are seeking God, then we can be safe from becoming an Abimelech. We can be safe from becoming the people of Shechem. And we can confidently speak against the terrible injustice in the world and speak instead of the glory of Christ, because we know, truthfully, that one day things will get better. Amen.